horrible. And so to finish off, Stephanie Carol Kershoff of Maplewood, Minnesota, said that she had been checking her washing machine and dryer before she turned it on. However, she couldn't find her cat. And the worst fear of hers was that Felix was found inside the washing machine. After a 35-minute cycle, she pulled Felix out and rushed him to the emergency where, despite suffering loss of vision, pneumonia from the amount of water in his lungs, Felix is alive and will probably recover. So when they say cats have 9 lives, what they mean is you can't keep a good cat down. Anyways, that's all I got for you today. Remember, stop snitching, don't have sex with your dad, and please, please review content, even if it is cartoons, before you give it to kids, because it might not be what you thought it was. I'm out.
Listening to CATR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Nitu Da. This is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled, ironically. And if you look in your car, at your radio, or whatever device you're using to listen to this, you know that I mean that quite literally. And this show is being broadcasted from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people from the Vancouver UBC campus. Now then, into the show. What I would like to talk about this time around, although I've kind of talked about it before, on a previous show I talked about stupid moments, and I talked about this one time about this thing on my fingernail. I won't ruin it for you. Go back and watch that episode. It was called, Do You Ever Have a Stupid Moment? This one is about stupid mistakes, which is quite similar, just a little different. Kind of celebrating stupidity and not being afraid of your mistakes or your stupid mistakes or your moments filled of stupidity. I'm trying to make it different from stupid moments, but I'm finding it to be quite similar. But I'm going to talk about something a bit different. We all make stupid mistakes, or not even stupid mistakes, just mistakes. We make an error from time to time, and sometimes they can be stupid. Like the time with my fingernail before. But this time I want to talk about ones that are more universal, or ones that we can all kind of relate to more than my own personal stupid moment that I had. where let's talk about emails. I'm sure we all make mistakes in emails. Sometimes you might send it to the wrong person. You might press reply all instead of just reply. Like recently, I've made a few email mistakes, though mine were quite stupid because there's always, you know, the notion and the saying that you should, you know, proofread, look it over, go over twice, thrice, as many times as possible. When it comes to emails, when I write it out, I feel like, okay, I'm reading it, it looks fine, and I don't really double check. And then when it comes to emails, you can't delete it, you can't, like, unsend it, it's sent, you can't take it back, and that way it's like real mail. Once it's sent, you can't do anything about it. Though I suppose when it comes to maybe applications, to jobs or programs or things like that, you could resend it beforehand. You can kind of just delete your application before it's reviewed and whatnot. But in this case, you can't do that. You cannot take it back. And a mistake that I recently made was in the title of the email. There, I misspelled it. It had the word change in it, but I was like missing a letter. I was missing like the A in the letter. Recently, I found that when I'm writing, I sometimes like miss entire words in the sentence. Like if the sentence were, how are you today? I might be missing like the R. But when I read it, it's like it's there. It's like there. The R is there. So do you know that thing where when you read something, you're not actually reading it. Like you're not recognizing the words like, okay, how are you? You're not doing that. You're kind of, it's like auto recognition. You already know what the sentence is going to say, so you're kind of just flying through like, okay, I know what to say, I'm just going to say what's in my head instead of actually reading it. And I feel like that's something I've been doing lately. I haven't actually been reading it word for word, and so I've missed some words. Another habit that I found of mine is that sometimes when I'm writing a sentence, you know, I'm writing it out, I'm also thinking about it while I'm writing what I'm about to write. I'm writing a word, but I'm thinking about the next word, and then I tend to put some of the next word's letters into the word I'm currently writing. Like, let's stick with the how are you. If I'm writing how, but I'm thinking about the R, I might go H-A-R, and That happens from time to time. It's some of my stupid mistakes. And when it comes to and another part of whenever you make a stupid mistake is the aftermath. The aftermath is probably even worse than making the stupid mistake. When I sent that email with the incorrect title, with some missing letters, the spelling mistakes, and for those who know me, especially my family, they know that I'm horrible at spelling. I'm horrible at grammar. If I was at an interview and they asked for what is your weakness, it's grammar. It's definitely grammar. I was so happy when auto correct and Grammarly came about, because it's a lifesaver for me, literally. It, you know, it saves me time on applications and essays. It's a real hassle cleaner upper. it's one of those for me. But okay, back to the aftermath. The aftermath of a stupid mistake. So the aftermath of that mistake, that stupid mistake of mine, of that spelling error, was that the person I sent the email to, when they replied, they mentioned my mistake to me. And I know that they were being considerate. They were pointing it out so I don't make that mistake again. So, you know, when you make a mistake, you learn from your mistake, and thus you don't do it again in the future. But of course, it's probably will happen. Not on purpose, of course. You miss things. You forget to proofread. You just think it's good and you send it away. But I understand the importance of proofreading. But when that person sent that email back to me and said that I made a mistake and pointed it out and to watch out in the future, I felt horrible. I felt even worse that they had to point it out to me than me actually making the mistake. But I understand where they're coming from. And possibly a lot of you have made those mistakes too. Another stupid mistake that I made in the beginning of my second term here at UBC, I think it was around January, around the time when the new classes were starting up. I have a deep, dark secret, a deep, dark mistake that I made. I went to the wrong class. I know, I went to the wrong class. And again, for those who know me, or my family especially, I'm very good with directions. I'm incredibly good in with directions. If I go to a place once, I know how to go to it again. I'm just very good with maps and understanding maps and routes and things like that. It's a talent or an act, or I just kind of enjoy the difficulty, or I enjoy kind of figuring out the paths to take and things like that. And so when I went to the wrong class, I entered the wrong classroom, I was just so disappointed in myself afterwards. I was so angry with myself because, you know, you pride yourself on a few things. It might be cooking or getting up early, or, you know, some routine task you always do, or maybe, you know, you're very good at not tying or sewing, or I think I already said cooking, but maybe exercise or molding, sculptures, art, whatever your kind of habit or hobby or whatever you pride yourself on. What I pride myself on is my great sense of direction and taking direction. And so when I went to that wrong class again, I felt so disappointed. But the mistake I made was that I thought the room number from my memory was 100, but it was actually room 200, which would be on the second floor of this building, one being first floor, two being the second floor. Of course, I don't need to explain that to you. I think it's pretty simple. But I went to, the class was in 200, I went to 100, and I didn't even realize that it was the wrong class during the class, because it was a geography class that I was supposed to go into, and it was very similar to it. I knew kind of the things they were talking about, and I didn't remember the professor's name, even though I'm pretty sure that the professor said their name, and it just seemed like, you know, this could be the class, and I just didn't notice. But then and I stayed for the whole class, and what makes it even worse is that the person I was sitting next to, usually when I go to a class for the first time, sometimes I'm not really able to make a real connection with the person next to me. Like, it's like we might say hello, hi, you know, why are you taking this class, and, you know, the niceties. I've talked about it on a previous show, that, you know, how you do the niceties, the little dance. But with the person sitting next to me, we had like a nice connection. It wasn't really the niceties, and, you know, at the end we said, like, I'll see you like next time, next week, or, you know, next Thursday, whenever the class was next. And I felt horrible afterwards when I found out, oh my gosh, I went to the wrong class. And now this person thinks I'm going to be there, but I'm not going to be there. And I can't just, and we didn't exchange, like, contact information, so I couldn't, like, explain my mistake either. And then I had missed the first class, and it was a stupid mistake that I made. And I'm sure that we all, you know, we make those little mistakes. Like, for example, right now I'm doing cover letters and resumes, and I'm seeking a job right now. And every now and again, I make a little mistake. I forget to change the job title or the job, yeah, the job title or maybe the date or something like that. Something very small like that. Resumes and cover letters are, they can be quite similar because many of the skills are very similar when you're applying to a similar jobs. So, you know, I change it a little, match the words in the job description. And then you always have to make sure to, you know, change who you're addressing, who are the hiring manager, whoever was said in the job description, and changing the address and the date and those little things. But sometimes you forget. Sometimes it slips your mind. Sometimes there's a deadline and proofreading. Maybe it isn't stupid mistakes. Maybe that's not it. Maybe we all just suck at proofreading. Maybe that's it. And I know. I've talked about assumptions on this show before, and I shouldn't make the assumption that all of you have made those stupid mistakes too. But I think I can make that assumption, that pre-assumption that you have made mistakes. Probably, maybe not the same mistakes I have in misspelling in emails, going to the wrong class, or, you know, messing up on a resume by forgetting to change the job title. But similar things. You have made similar mistakes. We are in the same big, gigantic boat that everyone who sends emails is in. And now, let's relax and forget our stupid mistakes with this first song, which is by and from the Genius of Eldon Rathburn. The album is called The Romance of Improvisation in Canada. I just love that title. And this song is called Conveyance by Canoe.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture. And that's been around for centuries.
Pinoy Pride Vancouver Society presents Liberacion, the first LGBTQ Philippinex Pride Art Celebration, on Saturday, June 16th at XY Lounge, featuring performances by Kimmortal, Naomi King, Romeo Reyes, Well, Jade Soul, and Mevian Hauser, and works by Politik, Mildred Grace German, Clar Pond, Jose Luis Reyes, Cesarina Bravo Tabopo, and These Bodies Between Us. Check out Pinoy Pride on Facebook for more information.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Neetu Da. This is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CEC. We are broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people on the Vancouver UBC campus. And the songs that I just played, you just heard, possibly, maybe not, were from the artist, the first one, the artist, The Genius of Eldon Rathburn, from the album The Romance of Improvisation in Canada. The song was Convenience by Canoe. The second song was by Trio Antipods, the album Upside Downwards. The song was called Living with Loss. Speaking of loss, we've all lost our cool. We've all lost some dignity or pride. The little mistakes that we make, the stupid, maybe even idiotic mistakes that we make, or maybe they're just mistakes from the mistakes we make. This show has almost turned out to be a confession of a lot of the little mistakes I have made in my lifetime, I suppose, though they don't spread out that well if we were to put this on a statistical chart. Another kind of mistake I made, it wasn't so, it didn't have too much to do with written communication or written work as the previous ones were. This one was more of a misunderstanding where I was trying to change a document. I was trying to flip it. Flip it was the word that I said. And when I say to flip a document, what I really mean is to rotate it. It was like a regular, you know, letter kind of document, and it was sideways. I wanted to, you know, turn it, 60 degrees so that it was upright and straight. And it was, I had to do it through an Adobe system, through the Adobe PDF, and I had never really used it before, and I couldn't figure out how to rotate the page or flip the page. And when I asked my supervisor if she could, tell me what to press, how to do it, it turns out that I wasn't signed in, though I tried to sign in and it didn't work. But it turns out I needed to sign in, and then I could have found, and then I was able to easily find it. But when I told her or asked her how to flip it, she didn't understand, and it was a miscommunication because she didn't understand what I meant by flip it, and I didn't realize that I was using flip it to mean rotate it. And so there was a miscommunication there. I feel like I've confessed a lot on this show. Hopefully future employers do not find this episode of CC, or maybe they find the humor in it and understand that, you know, we all make little mistakes or stupid mistakes from time to time, and we have moved past it. We feel disappointed once we realize there's a rush of emotion. I get this sudden, like, overheat, like I'm overheating, like, your computer or your phone, a sudden, like, panic kind of overwhelms me or flows into me. But then, you know, I always understand my mistake, where I went wrong, and what to do better next time, but at the same time, we all make mistakes. And maybe all of you have made the same mistakes, so that's probably very unlikely, or at least similar mistakes. Like, maybe a mistake you have done is when you send an email to the wrong person. I've never done that. I've never sent an email to the wrong person. It's usually I forget an attachment, or I forget to include something in the email. It usually has to do with the proofreading process. You know, everybody makes mistakes, not to go down the Hannah Montana route, but we make mistakes, and mistakes are, I feel like I've heard it somewhere, read it somewhere, where someone was noting or pointing out that mistakes aren't very welcomed in our society. They're frowned upon, even though making mistakes is how you learn. It's how you adapt. It's how you grow to be better by making those mistakes. That way, when you make a mistake, you know, you feel some negative feelings, and those negative feelings can help you to do better next time, to ensure that you don't make that mistake again, to make sure that you always check your spelling and always make sure you're sending it to the right person, always double checking or whatever other remedy is needed for that mistake. Just remember that when you apologize or say sorry when you make a mistake, know that attached to that should be the idea or the promise that next time I will do things differently, or next time I won't make the same mistake, or next time I will improve. The promise that next time I will do things differently, and it won't be a repeat of this time, of this instance. And now let's move on from this topic. This show, Convictions and Contradictions, is about convictions and contradictions that we have about ourselves or society, the world, and a big part of that is social observations. An observation I made recently was through the process I went through to get a new phone. My old phone was very old. It was a phone that you could literally just kind of walk into a Best Buy and would just be in a case that you would just grab off a shelf and buy. It wasn't even behind the glass. There was no key to get the phone. It was quite cheap, and it was very small. And though that may be a negative factor or a factor you don't want when looking for a phone, you know what you're looking for might be a big phone. For me, I want a small phone. I don't want it to be as huge as I think phones are now. But the phone was kind of dying out. It was burning out. It was just kind of getting slower and slower as I kept using it. But I really liked it because it was so small and convenient, and it had everything I needed on it. Sometimes it wasn't easy to download new apps or applications I needed because there wasn't a lot of space on the phone. But that was actually kind of a good thing because it helped me to avoid downloading, like, games on my phone and, like, just kind of playing them all the time. And it helped me to avoid that, though that's not really a habit of mine. But another part of the little phone that I liked was a backpack that I usually use has a little attached to the, what is it called? The holder, the two straps that would go over your shoulders. And one of them was a little phone holder. And it's quite an old bag, so the holder is quite small. It's designed for, I guess, like a flip phone. And because my phone was small, it nicely fit in there. And I really liked it because whenever I got, like, a phone call or a message, my shoulder would just vibrate. But through the process of getting a new phone, I realized just how expensive phones were. I mean, you know, cars are expensive. You know, mattresses are expensive. You know, you have that expectation that it's going to be expensive. It's going to cost some money. But I didn't know how much. It was quite a bit. And I had to get a new plan. I mean, when it comes to phones and plans, I find them to be quite complicated. There was this whole discussion about would I have to change my phone number to get a cheaper plan, and What if I were to keep my current plan? Because my current plan I got years and years ago. I never changed the plan because the phones that I would get were just kind of buy it and then just put the SIM from the old phone into the new phone. So I never had to change my plan. But this time, my phone was behind the glass. Whew, it was in the back room this time. So I needed a new plan, and with the new plan, it was more expensive. But I asked, how much would it be to just buy the phone? What if I don't change the plan? What if I just buy the phone? The phones are expensive. They are quite expensive. Before finally deciding on a phone, before actually kind of going through the papers and signing and things like that, I went to a few different places. I went to my cell phone provider. I went to Best Buy to see the actual phones. And Best Buy has also, you can kind of do phone plans and things at Best Buy, like you can at a mall kiosk, that kind of thing. And they had, the two places had different information. There was different understandings about if I would have to get a new number, the prices. Apparently there was an attached amount I had to pay. And through this whole process of getting a new phone, a social observation that I made was that sometimes we come to a realization of something we already know. I already knew that a new plan would cost more. I already knew that a phone was expensive. I already knew these things. You know these things. They're in the back of your head. But sometimes it takes an action or a moment or an experience for you to realize that what you already knew was true. Like when you hear about maybe racism. Like I heard a recent story, or I read a recent story which happened in the UK, where there were two women on a bus who were lesbian or gay, however they identify themselves, and they were, they were holding hands, maybe they kissed when they first got on the bus, and they were sitting there, and then two men came up, or maybe one person came up to them, I know it was a male, came up to them and said, kiss right in front of me, and they, they said, no, we're not gonna do that, and they ended up hitting these women. And you hear these stories, and you in the back of your head, racism is true because other people you trust tell you about it. Maybe you've experienced it before, or maybe from all these different stories of all the different experiences other people have had. But then sometimes those aren't enough. Like you have that knowledge and you say it's true, but it's not until you experience something or you go through an activity or an action that you realize that what you already knew was true. It's like whenever someone proposes a theory. I feel like this theory is true, and I know it to be, but until you get the evidence and the stats and the information to prove it, you don't realize that what you already knew was true. I'm going to leave you on that note to this next song from the band Colliding Canyon from their album Desert Ballads. And this song is called Engine of Survival.
Do you want to voice this one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to voice it? I can voice
yeah.
it.
Yeah, please voice
That's
this
the
one.
Wrong mic.
I forgot.
You dip. I can't believe I put up with this. And I asked for a grape soda, you asshole. Okay.
Due to a labor dispute, CITR is missing its star voice actors. That means if you're interested in producing PSAs, advertisements, and various other promotional wonders for airplay on the radio, we need you. Learn how to get involved with CITR's production department and all other facets of volunteering at CITR and Discorder Magazine at CITR.ca. Programming, photography, media training, and more. Plus, a guest star in the lounge. No, wait, we can't promise that.
Can't believe I put up with this.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
P.S. Convictions and Contradictions can not only be found on CITR.ca, but also on Facebook, YouTube, and also through email. And next up at 10 a.m. is Rocket from Russia.
Lupin's on the road and sorrow in the north. You've been hanging on a dream for so long. Got a leg and heart, Montreal. Didn't think it'd be so hard to let me love you. I see that, I can feel you. I have arms to hold you, but I haven't wounds. Come on, tell
MRG Concerts presents. Washington, D.C.-based post-punk band Priests will be performing at the Biltmore Cabaret on July 2nd. Don't miss them, with guests Sons of an Illustrious Father, and grab your tickets at eventbrite.com or Red Cat Records.
Who we view as the most authoritative and electable is rooted in systems of oppression.
There are so many inequities around having our experts in our community speak about our work.
Obviously, there are several facets to this strangely homogenous nature of the electoral system.
And to be left out of conversations, it only exemplifies that loss of self-esteem.
Check out CITR's live panel podcast, Conversations, hosted by our Indigenous, Accessibility, and Gender Empowerment collectives. Subscribe to Conversations, available now on iTunes.
In recent weeks, the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, Queer, Intersex, and Asexual Peoples released their final report.
From everyone here at CITR and Discorder, we would like to encourage all listeners, especially those with settler heritage, to take the time to read the report.
Consider ways you can work decolonial practices into your daily life.
To read the report, please visit mmiwg-ffada.ca or Google Reclaiming Power in Place Final Report.